Cheech, top of the circle, Horton, the drive, score! The Bruins knock out Montreal!
Right. This is an actual episode of the Big Bad Bruins podcast. Did you miss us, folks? I know we missed each other. Actually, to the point of, I don't even know what my co-host, what's your name again? Mr.
I don't know.
You don't know? Wow. Is it Bigfoot? You call you Bigfoot? No?
Yeah, I'm Bigfoot.
Yeah, you're Bigfoot. Okay. Right. My co-host, Bigfoot. No.
Lost in the woods of Vermont.
Yeah, it is. No, obviously, we've had quite a bit of a gap between our last episode, and for a lot of reasons. It was just, you know, life gets in the way, things happen, and the Bruins, it turned out to play just once a week. So, it's exciting to be back. Obviously, we have a lot of hockey to talk about. We're, you know, a lot to catch up on, a lot to do moving forward. But, you know, we're here now, and we're going to talk about the Bruins at, you know, essentially the quarter mark of the season, at least for most teams. I mean, again, you know, the Bruins may have a fewer games in hand than most, but you know, the point is this season is well underway, and I guess I'll ask you, I mean, where do you have the Bruins in terms of what your expectations were and where they actually are at this point?
I'd say a little bit lower at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But not, I don't know how to really word this exactly, which is unusual, because I can normally word anything. But I knew it was going to take a while for the team to gel, new faces, people going out. The schedule certainly hasn't helped, but let's be honest, the team right now is struggling. I think they're a playoff team, but right now, as is, dicey. The good thing for the Bruins is they got games in hand,
mm-hmm.
So that's possible where they can just – they have to win those games, though, because they're starting to get behind a little bit on the standings. I don't know. It just seems like a team that's stuck in mud right now.
Well, one of the issues being, you know, it's the same type of issues that have faced this team the last few years. The only problem, the big problem, is there's no David Krejci or Tuukka Rask anymore. And I think you're seeing the impact of those two players. And look, I mean, I think anyone here would freely, even the biggest Tuukka haters in the world, will admit that the goaltending has been probably the most disappointing part of this stretch so far.
Well, I mean, I would say goaltending or even the defense. I mean, the defense has sucked across the
board. Oh, sure. Oh, for
not
sure.
Not been good. I mean, that's the other issue. Goalies can only do so much. If your defense isn't clearing the puck out, winning the net front battles, you're screwed anyways. No matter if Jesus Christ is in net, something's going to get through there eventually.
No, but that's true, and trust me, I'm a goalie, so I sympathize towards that. But when you have just barely over 900 save percentage combined between the two,
that's not good. Yeah.
That's not good. Not in today's NHL, and certainly not, you know, from what we've expected before. And look, I mean, like I said, a lot of these issues the Bruins are going through right now, very lopsided or heavy, top-heavy scoring. They've been dealing with that for years. And, you know, defense that is transitioning. I mean, this is the same type of defensive unit that it was last year. But guess what? Last year, goaltending wasn't an issue. I mean, unless you talk to the anti-Tuukka crowd. And, again, that's a whole nother conversation for another day. But
yes,
there's no longer that certainty. And now, again, you know, we heard that Tuukka's back on the ice. And every indication is if and when he is ready, he will be a part of this team. And I hope it's soon. And again, I'm not trying to knock either of the goalies right now. Like you said, I don't think either has certainly gotten the support in front of them that they probably deserve or need. But this is the same type of support that Tuukka Rask has been getting the last couple of years. And, you know, again, I think this is might put in perspective a little bit how good he was and how much I think he got a little bit too much slack in this town.
People only, as a whole, seem to look at titles. That's the biggest knock on Tuukka Rask. If you really want to get down to the brass tacks of the hatred, it's the fact that anytime they have got to the cup and not won, they've placed the blame squarely on his shoulders. And
which is absurd.
It's insanity. Everyone points out to that game seven against the Blues.
They wouldn't have even been in game seven had it not been for how Tuukka played the prior to that rest of that series.
What annoys me about that entire series still, I don't want to go back, you know, relive nightmares from the past, but never should have even gotten to seven.
Yeah, well.
Bruins were a much better team, and you absolutely cannot lose three games on your home ice. That cannot happen. And it did happen. Everyone says, oh, you know, game seven's all on Tuukka. Well, no, your offense disappeared.
Yep.
It went dry.
And
And
that's a
that
common
goes
theme.
back to, like you said, that front line, Bergeron, Marchand, and Pasta. When that line doesn't develop, you're cooked. You're
Yep.
done. And history has just is just repeating itself. But now you take Krejci out of the equation, and it gets compacted even more because he did so many little things on the ice where he could cover up for bad mistakes from other players. If they're out of position, whatever. He was a very heady player. He solidified that second line. So if that first line wasn't cooking, at least you have a second line center and Krejci in that line who hopefully could get over the top, do their part, and then so forth and so on. But now you don't get that. Coyle, good player, not a second line center. He's not. He's just not a top six player. Coyle's is a fantastic third line center. And
Exactly.
I'm not trying to knock Charlie Coyle as a player because he's a very good player. You got to be special to be in the top six, which you should be, especially at the center position. You don't got that right now. You're a team, like you said earlier, in transition. The Bruins are in one of those spots right now where they're kind of like, what do we do?
Yeah, they're
Okay,
in limbo. They're locked.
we have to plan for the future, but we still got some of the core here. Do we take one last kick at the can, so to speak, before Bergie and the rest they get a little too old and move on? They lost Chara and Krejci in consecutive seasons. Now, take Chara. Yeah, he was older. Was he as good as he used to be? No. But you can't take someone like a Chara and not expect there to be something on the backside that's not there. Like, Chara's like just one of those players where his presence speaks volumes. And they have the leadership. They've always had it. Bergeron, the main people. But Chara was a special player, and he was admired across the board. When he still spoke in that locker room, people listened. Now, Bergeron's situation we have going on now, he doesn't want to talk contract at the end of the season.
Yeah. Which
that alarms me a little bit. That, to my knowledge, I could be wrong, but I don't think that's ever happened with him, ever.
I would have
it was
to,
ever,
yeah.
yeah.
Excuse me. I would have to go back and look, but you know, this could also be, it could also be, and I'll try to find some silver lining here. Just could be a situation where, you know, like Bergeron's comfortable where he's at. I mean, I don't think he's looking to necessarily move on. You know what I'm
No,
saying?
me neither.
So I think
Yeah,
to
for
him,
sure.
like waiting until the end of the season is not a big deal because that way he can focus on the actual season itself. And look, I mean, if the Bruins are going to go anywhere, a lot of it's going to rest and fall on the shoulders of Bergeron, Pastrnak, and Marchand, and you know, just as it has all, you know, for several years. And I know you said, you know, maybe they could swing and take one more shot. Well, you know, I feel like that this offseason was that opportunity to do so. You know what I mean? Like you had to evaluate your situation and I agree with you about Charlie Coyle. I like Charlie Coyle as a player, but we even said it before the season. I think his cap is a third line center. And if you try to ask him to do too much, it's not going to work. And I think we're seeing the limitations now. You know, look, he has 6 goals, 5 assists. You know, it's right up there towards the top of the ranks of the Bruins goal scoring, which, you know, that speaks for itself. But it's like I said, I feel like they've missed too many opportunities, and it's going to be tough for them to, again, try to find something to improve this team, because I don't think it's coming from within. I mean, again, this is something we've talked about for years. It's like, how many times can you just reshuffle the same handful of players and try to see if it finally works? And, you know, at this point, it's like, I just don't think so.
I mean, that's the other thing. Like, somewhere along the line, the Bruins got to realize what's going on. Like,
okay. I thought they did when they went and got Taylor Hall, because I was like, finally, they went out and they saw a great opportunity. But then again, it's probably only because he came so cheap and it just happened to work out.
12:30 at night, I'll never forget, I get a text from you. I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight. Like, what? Did you see what just happened? I can't sleep. Like, oh, no shit. Hall just got traded. Wow. And no one saw that one coming, especially for the price.
Well, we both said it wasn't going to happen because we thought Buffalo would want way too much.
Right.
Or not necessarily way too much. We just thought, well, naturally, he's going to command a high price, and rightfully so, but we got him for peanuts. So, you know, at then I was like, okay, maybe the Bruins are seeing that, because you have Hall, and like, look, you know, David Krejci, you know, his decision was his decision. Not that the Bruins could have done much to change his mind or whatever, but I feel like the backup plan should not have been to elevate Charlie Coyle to second line center.
No.
In hindsight, I think that they should have been more aggressive and proactive and realize that, hey, you have a potential to have two really good lines.
And not only that, you got to think at some point the Bruins knew Krejci's decision ahead of time.
I don't think this completely caught them by surprise.
Right, exactly. Which makes it even more damning if they actually knew which way he was really leaning. That should have been the red flag. Okay, we need to try to get someone who can fit in the top six. Centers, preferably.
Well, like, that's the thing. I mean, of the three forwards, I mean, I think we would all agree that the center is the most important. I mean, for years, the Bruins had such a great advantage because they had so much center depth. That's why they won a Stanley Cup. And that's why, you know, they were consistently in that contention. Now it's, you know, they better just get on a nice run or a decent run and hope that maybe they don't run into the Lightning in the second round.
Right.
You know, and it's...
Oh, exactly, yeah.
It's unfortunate.
It's very frustrating as a fan, that's for damn sure. You know, I miss Krejci bad. I respect his decision to go home. I mean, who's going to say? You can't go home to play. You still got unfinished business here with the Bruins. You get your ass back here.
Yeah.
Like, I need someone who can... talk like Czechoslovakian.
Yeah. Well, why don't you pick up one of those? What were those old audio video like learning things that you can learn languages? Like, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Rosetta Stone or something?
Yeah,
like
yeah. Get yourself a Rosetta Stone and learn some Czech.
I'll just learn, hey, Krejci, get your ass back here. Yeah. I finished business. Czechoslovakian.
Oh, man. Hey, look, if he comes back, I will certainly credit you for bringing him back.
Oh, my God. I mean, if he comes back, I told Mikey the other day, like, he's going to come back and we're going to go walking into the garden arm in arm.
Yeah. You got to give him the escort, the car escort, put some lights on yours and, you know, just lead him into the TD garden. Even if it was Krejci returning or not, I mean, I feel like they dropped the ball there, because I think we have a good idea who a lot of these players are on this team, and to continually think that they're more than what they are, you know, that's the thing. And what we're going to cross sports here a little bit. One of the great things about, and this isn't a knock necessarily on Bruce Cassidy, because, you know, he only can work with the players that he has, you know what I'm saying? But when it comes to Bill Belichick and the Patriots, one of his greatest abilities is never putting players in a position to fail. Like, he knows what they're good at, he knows what they're not good at, he knows what situations they're going to succeed and which situations they're going to fail. And I think the Bruins aren't that. They look at it and say, well, we can, let's see if this works. Let's try this. Let's move this guy here. But, you know, like I said, we talked about this before the season even started. We both like Charlie Coyle. We love Charlie Coyle.
Yeah.
As a third line center.
Yeah.
Anything above that, all of a sudden,
it gets dicey.
It gets dicey. And as we've seen, it's just not the talent level that we want to see on a line that features a guy like Taylor Hall, who, you know, again, you know, he could be and potentially be one of your most talented players on the team outside of Brad Marchand and maybe David Pastrnak. But, you know, he's on a line with a guy who's playing above his means. And it's, you know, it's frustrating because that kind of lands on the management of the Bruins and not right. being able to see that.
Right. Well, I think what happened was that, like, the Huler and Nosek signing was basically them trying to cover the backside on your third and fourth line while giving Cole that shot at.
Well, that's the problem. That was a misstep.
The problem is Huler is skating in mud right now.
Yeah.
And I like Huler.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to rip him, but it's right now. It's not good out there right now.
No, I mean,
I like Nosek. I've always liked Nosek, so I was thrilled with that. But I know what Nosek is. You know,
well,
I don't expect him to get 50. It's never happening.
Like, you're not going to.
Nosek's just a decent. He's a grind player. That's
yeah,
he is
exactly. Like, you don't sign Thomas Nosek to be one of your top three or four goal getters. You know what I mean? You sign him to do the things he does, and that's the same thing with Coyle. It's like, you know, you put him in a third line role, and all of a sudden, it looks a lot better. But again, it just I feel like the Bruins have had a few missteps when it comes to team building. I think they're going to get bailed out a little bit if Tuukka Rask returns, because it's not only the improved play, but I think even just the confidence that he puts in front of, with the team in front of him. There's a lot to be said about that. You know, not that, you know, the players don't trust their goaltenders, but, you know, when you have a guy like Tuukka who, you know, outside of lunatic fans, he's widely respected among his teammates and among the players he plays with because they recognize how good he is.
Right.
And I think that's going to be a big boost. I just hope that by the time that happens, it's not going to be too late for this team. Because, you know, again, I know it's a long season. There's a long way to go. But, you know, they're playing like a team that's just good. And teams that are just good get knocked out in the first round, and that's it. And that's what the Bruins were for much of the 90s after, you know, that stretch where they went to, you know, the Stanley Cup. And that's what they kind of fell into until they finally turned it around after several other mistakes along the way. So,
Yeah, I know. All the 90s were awful. Really? Jesus.
Yeah. Let's not relive that now, shall we?
I feel right now with this Bruins team, there's another gear there, but they're not getting to it. They're like just stuck in neutral right now. And I don't know if that's personnel, so to speak.
I think it is. I think they're missing a piece.
And the schedule, too, has been shit. Okay, I was going to say not ideal, but let's just call it like it is. It's been shitty.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, well, look.
How can you get a rhythm going in your games if you're playing twice a week?
No, it's true. It's true. And, like, look, I mean, no one's – I think – you know, I think the easy thing to do, obviously, is to look for reasons, you know, kind of not excuses, but just kind of reasons why. But at the end of the day, it's like the expectations for this team have been so high, and rightfully so, that, you know, these issues early on are going to be pretty, you know, kind of alarming.
Agree.
Like, I mean, like, look, let's face it. Early in the season, you know, back-to-back losses to Florida and Carolina. Mm. They're two of the best teams in the league right now. So, I mean, there is some, you know, kind of, okay, let's kind of, you know, pump the brakes a little bit. You know, they lost to Calgary, another, you know, another great team in the league right now. So, and Toronto, of course, you know, again, they're one of the better teams in the league as well. So, again, their losses haven't been devastating. And, again, we're probably maybe overreacting a little bit, but, you know, again,
we don't do that.
No. We're very level-headed, wise, old. Well, you're old.
Right. Yeah, I feel it too.
Well, actually, I'm not going to lie. I feel it today too, you know,
a little sore, a little cranky.
You're
in sunny Florida. It's like 25, 30.
No. It's like 60 degrees right now. You know, it's a little chilly. I had to turn the heat on this morning.
you need to get your ass back up here because your New England blood is just not there.
Oh, it's gone up.
It's been translated to like South Floridian.
I was walking around Northampton at like 10:30 at night in the middle of October, and it was like 39 degrees out, and it was the coldest I've ever been in my entire life. And I used to go outside in like shorts in the snow. So.
Oh, you're one of those short guys.
Yeah, I was one of those guys.
Always one in the crew. Yeah, always.
I'm not me anymore. I have wimped up.
But like I always say about Bruins fans in general, and I will double down all the way to the day that I stop thinking Bruins, which will probably be never. Bruins fans are only happy when they're miserable. That's it. If everything's going good, you're looking for the other shoe to fall. And that's just never going to go away. It's how it goes.
It's that doom and gloom. That's been ingrained with us. All of us who lived a significant portion of our lives prior to 2004 and 2001, have that ingrained in us that, you know, hey, it's always just waiting to fall. You know, it's always just that one,
that's our Red Sox fandom coming out with the Bruins.
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, can you blame us? I mean, for the first 15 years of my life, it was all just like, oh, hey, just like I described, oh, the Bruins made it to the playoffs. Let's keep that streak going, 29 years. Yeah, all right. No hope to make anything past the first round.
My first real Bruins, like, I guess, heartbreak, if you want to call it, would be 88 against Edmonton. Finally get to the Cup Finals, and they get slaughtered against Gretzky.
Yeah.
I was a kid still. I mean,
I was alive. That was early on in my life, but
right.
That
one sucked. But I mean, looking back now, as I'm a little bit older, yeah, the Bruins weren't going to win that one. '90s sucked because I thought they should have won that one. That sucked bad.
And then things just went downhill
Then things went shitty for a decade.
But about 15 years, aside from like there was that little stretch, like they made it past the first round in 1999, only to get beat by the Sabres. Dominic Hasek, and then a few years later, the Jason Allison, that era of Bruins hockey, where it was like, oh my God, they could actually be good, and then they got really old, and then they really effed up the post lockout. Trust me, anyone who's listened to the show before ever has known I have a lot of strong feelings about how much they screwed up that post lockout. But to their credit, they were able to really kind of fix that very quickly, obviously, in 2006, and then, you know, obviously bringing Claude and Mark Savard and Chara and so on and so forth. So, but it's not 2007, it's not 2008, Chris, it's 2021. And
woof.
Look, we know Jake DeBrusk has requested a trade. We're going to, you know, obviously, I think it's time. Look, they probably missed their opportunity to trade him, ideally.
Should have been in the offseason.
Yeah, I mean, look, that again, let's go back to the more missteps in player management here. They should have traded him in the offseason. Now they're going to trade him. They're not going to probably get a great deal. And look, I mean, it's the right move. I mean, at this point, he even said himself, or I believe Taylor Hall said he had said, like it's not you, it's me. You know, it's the old George Costanza thing. It's not you, it's me. It's not you guys. It's just he needs a fresh start for his career. And I think we all agree at this point. I don't think any of us are like, oh my God, we can't lose Jake DeBrusk. The disappointing thing is that we're going to end up losing him for probably far less than what they probably could have done. And again, a move that probably should have been made in the offseason, because now it's a matter of, okay, what do we do next? Because they don't have a choice. They're going to end up having to trade him. This isn't a, no, we're not going to do anything. They're going to trade him.
Yep. So. Anyone in particular you're interested in, or what's your thoughts on him? Because I know a guy.
I know you have a guy in mind. I know the Rangers have been a team that's popped up with interest for him. Let me hear who you're thinking, because, you know, maybe I'll latch on to that, because like I said, I'm just looking at this as saying,
I know a guy out in plays with the LA Kings.
I was going to say, following? It's not Tyler Toffoli, right? This isn't 2019.
Oh, pain. Listen, I need it. I follow.
I like it. I like
it. Think about it for a second. DeBrusque makes 3.5 right now, mm-hmm. right? Roughly. I have followed his cap hit right now. It's 4 mil. For this season right now, I have followed played 21 games. He has 8 goals, 7 assists, and 15 points. I need it.
Ian does need it, actually. I like it. I like it.
Now you need it.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Let me think about this. And Ian need it? How'd that work?
I don't know. You're giving me a headache now. Now my head's starting to hurt. That's not good. That's not a good thing. I don't have much.
So this message goes out to Mike Kratzky. Kratzky, Ian need it.
Ian need it. No, look, I like it. And you know, you're talking about a guy. He's a 6 foot guy, 200 pound. I mean, he can put the puck in the net.
Russell can play center and wing. Well, which is something Bruins need.
Well, and let's face it. He'd be tied for the league, the team lead in goals the second he joined. You know,
that's
be,
scary. Okay, I follow's decent, but he's not that good.
Well, and that kind of speaks to the issues that the Bruins are having. And again, this isn't anything new. You know, if we would have been in a coma the last few months, and then who knows? I mean, we might as well have been since we weren't able to get any shows out. But, you know, if we were in the coma for the last few months and then we were finally awoken and someone told me, hey, you know, the Bruins are kind of, you know, struggling a bit. They're getting only scoring from their top line. I'm like, what year is it? You know, like what year are we in? Because, you know, it could have been any of the last few years. So, I like that. I mean, I like the money seems to match up. Obviously I don't know if the Kings would be motivated, to either trade him or take on DeBrusque. That would certainly be something I'd be interested in for sure.
Well, it's either that or you throw complete caution, you know, throw caution out the door and just try to get a monster like a Hurdle.
Yeah. Well, again, I think that would take a little bit more than Jake DeBrusque. I mean, maybe, you know, maybe we can, I was going to say, too bad we just can't keep going back to that Buffalo well, you know, deal, you know, the same structure, like a third rounder. And,
I'm so fanatical about Hurdle. Okay.
No, I like Thomas.
I'll catch a lot of flack for this, and this probably never happened. Call it an overpayment all you want, but if I could offer the Sharks, DeBrusque, and Stanika for Hurdle, I'm in. Take them.
Yeah, I mean,
me personally, I'm not completely sold on Stanika yet. He hasn't got he hasn't played a crap ton in the NHL. But someone like a Hurdle who could just basically step right in. It's not going to happen. So relax, Bruins fans. Oh,
I know this is just
all hypothetical.
This fills the need for your Czech center too. So it kind of
right.
No, look. I mean, I'm with you. I think, you know, the time of waiting to see if some of these young guys can develop. You have to make a choice. You're at a crossroads if you're the Bruins right now. You have to decide whether or not they want to be in this for the long haul. And quite frankly, I don't know if I trust them long-term player development, because there's not much that has given me optimism for the future. You know what I'm saying? Like, this isn't a team that has, they have homegrown talent that's in their late 30s. So where is the homegrown talent?
That's the problem, late 30s.
Yeah, where's the homegrown talent from 35 to 25? There is none. And that kind of speaks a lot to player development. Jake DeBrusque, I mean, I think we've been on the more defensive side of his before a while, it's hard to sit here and continue to just pretend that he's just going to turn it around. And then again, that would put a fairly large exclamation point on that 2015 draft, which
that's the problem because it'll just touch him. No matter how the way works, with Sweeney will always be tied to that 2015 draft. Right or wrong, this is how it's going to be. And now with DeBrusque going, you have basically the brawl.
Yep.
Sinishin hasn't came up in really, he hasn't been able to stick, but he's having a good year down in Providence. But that's Providence. That's not Bruins. That doesn't do you no good down there.
Like, I feel like they have a great collection of third and fourth line players.
Exactly. And you can't do that. Like you said, you can be a good team, but you can't be a cup team. That's just not going to happen.
Like, think about, obviously, some of these other teams, you know, that they get first overall picks and have an opportunity for a no-brainer stud player. Yeah, of course, you're going to hit on those players. But even some of these lesser teams are building up and becoming a better team because of their drafting, because of their development. And the Bruins have just been, you know, stuck in mud for years, it seems like. I mean, every couple of years, it's like, oh, this is the guy, this is the new guy. Then it's like, it's the same thing. Okay, well, he's underdeveloped, he's not big enough, and he seems to not take to the NHL game right. Well, rinse and repeat.
Well, the only thing I would say, like, as far as, like, draft people go is that the guy they did last year, Lysol.
Yep.
Look out. He has the tools to be – like a pasta. That's who he reminds me of. He reminds me of a younger version.
Hey, and
if you can get that out of Lysol.
Yeah. And look,
listen. Is it possible?
Anything is possible, my friend. Yeah, anything is possible. Yeah.
Keeps on giving right there.
And give credit where credit's due. I mean, they did hit on Pasta. I mean, you can't deny that. I mean, you know, David Pastrnak was obviously, you know, if people knew this was who he was going to be, he would have been drafted higher. But, you know, credit to the Bruins. But, you know, at this point,
sometimes it's just a roll of the dice in the draft.
Yeah. No, that's what it is.
The Bruins could have picked Barzal and the rest of the names, and they could have been crap. And the people that they passed on could have been something else. Just the way it goes.
It is the way it goes, my friend. Just like. Yeah, just like Bruce Hornsby said back in the day. Anyways, that's going to do it here for us today. We're going to we'll be back in the flow of things. Obviously, like we said at the top of the show, a lot of life got in the way of being able to do the show consistently. But we love doing it, and we are looking forward to being a part of your listening routine from here on out. So give us a follow on Twitter at Big Bad Bruins Pod. I'm at IGLEN31, and you can find my co-host. What's your name? Chris. That's right. Chris_Blackie on Twitter.
Marquis Shaw Jr.
Yeah, that's right. Marquis Shaw Jr., my friend. Have a great day.
Hold on a second for you. I got one last little thing I'm going to say before we get off the air.
Sure.
If anyone's looking for any last minute Christmas gift ideas for me, Jack Edwards on the podcast.
Yeah. There you go, folks. Fill up Chris's stocking with what he wants with Jack Edwards, folks.
All imagine, right. Like, my little stocking on the side with, like, a head of Jack Edwards popping up. I'm here.
Don't give me any ideas, my friend. Don't give me any ideas. God. Oh, man.
You're going to do one of those, what you do is those things now, where it's like, what's it? Not Venmo, where he, like, you can, like.
Oh, the cameo, yeah. Give him
cameos. You're going to pay for a camera. I'm going to get a call for a number I don't recognize.
Hey, I already got you a high pitch Eric birthday song earlier this year, and I will do what I can for Christmas. So
what's going to happen is someone's going to do it just to be like the smartest thing. I just want you to say one thing, Jack Edwards, and hang the phone up. And you know what I'm talking about. We won't get into that though.
That's funny. I like that. A little inside joke here that none of our listeners will get, but we appreciate and we will laugh. Thank you, everyone. We'll talk to you soon.
Peace.